Let's have all the fathers stand. All the fathers, Rain Bible Church, please stand so we can honor all our fathers. Amen. Praise God. Good to have all you good-looking men here today. Amen. Well, you know, one little boy was asked one time about Father's Day. He said, it's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much on the present. So, you know, it's interesting how much more fathers learn as a kid gets older. You know, when a kid's 4 years old, first of all, says, my daddy can do anything. When they're seven, my dad knows a lot, a whole lot. When they're eight, my father doesn't quite know everything. When they're 12, oh, well, naturally, my father doesn't know everything. 14, father, hopelessly old-fashioned. At 21, oh, that old man is out of date. What do you expect? At 25, he knows a little bit about it, but not much. At 30, must find out what dad thinks about it. At 35, a little patience. Let's get dad's meaning first. At 50, what would dad have thought about it? At 60, my dad literally knew everything. At 65, I wish I could talk it over with my dad once more. You know, we're a society searching for a model father. And I have a couple of quotes that a number of different people have said. Charles Kettering says, every father should remember that one day his son will follow his example, not his advice. You know, we lead by example. Liza Minnelli said, I've said it before, but it's absolutely true. My mother gave me my drive, but my father gave me my dreams. Thanks to him, I could see a future. Charles Wadsworth said this, by the time a man realizes that maybe his father was right, he usually has a son who thinks he's wrong. An unknown author says this one, what you teach your children, you also teach their children. Tim Rustard said this, the older I get, the smarter my father seems to get. Linda Poindexter says this, when my father didn't have my hand, he had my back. I don't know who this guy is, but Umberto Eco says, what we become depends on what our fathers teach us. The great Jim Valvano coach said, my father gave me the greatest gift anyone could give another person. He believed in me. Michael Jordan says this, my father used to say, it's never too late to do anything you want to do. And he says, you never know what you can accomplish until you try. Tiger Woods said this, my dad was my best friend and greatest role model. He was an amazing dad, coach, mentor, soldier, husband, and friend. Bo Jackson says, I would say my greatest achievement in life right now, my greatest achievement period is, and I'm still trying to achieve it, is to be a wonderful father to my kids. You see, it doesn't matter how many accolades you make. If you're not a good father to your kids, it doesn't really matter. Clarence Buddington Kellen says this, my father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. You know, there's many lessons that I learned from my dad. I mean, obviously, you know, we have the spiritual aspect, and I'm not going to really touch on that a whole lot because I believe that most of you realize that the father should be the head of the home spiritually, and the father should be an example to that. But I'm going to touch on natural things. You realize that God made the family before he made the church. And it's very important for fathers to be there for their family. You know, if you win the whole world and lose your kids, you really haven't achieved anything. You know, I believe that probably the best lesson I ever learned from my dad, and you know, many people have told me that I'm a pretty good dad, but I learned everything I learned from my father. The biggest thing he taught me was to just be there. Just be there. You know, my dad did travel quite a bit during our childhood. You know, I always knew that if he could be there, he was always there. Every event we ever had, you know, he always would be there if he possibly could. You know, according to fathers.com, which is actually a website, it says children from fatherless homes are more likely to be poor, become involved in drugs and alcohol abuse, drop out of school, and suffer from health and emotional problems. Boys are more likely to become involved in crime, and girls are more likely to become pregnant as teens. In 2010, this stat says an estimated 24.7 million children, which is roughly 33%, live absent of their biological father. You know, it's important that the father's there. And in fact, if the, probably the decay in society we see is because fathers are not present. And I get it. Maybe if the father and the mother aren't together, that doesn't excuse you from not being a father. Or I should say not being a dad. You know, any male can be a biological father, but it takes someone special to become a dad. Now, there is no rules on how to be a dad. I mean, there is, you know, every kid's different. Every situation is different. You know, it's a thing, and there is no rules. But the way we learn is we have to have our dad present in order to be there. And it's really sad how many families are made up of just a single mom, no dad present. And in fact, even in our own daycare here, and you know, a lot of folks that go to our daycare do not go to our, are not church members here, but I know one individual, one young man that worked with some of the school agers was telling me that he noticed how a lot of the kids, he looked up to him like a mentor, and you know, at 19, 20, I mean, you know, it's kind of really, you're not thinking you're a real mentor, but he found out that majority of kids didn't have a father in the home. Some of them, I think six of however many kids that were there, didn't even know their dad's name. They don't even know their dad. You know, it's really hard to do anything if a dad's not there, not present. Now, it says, I read a stat, and probably the stat's probably a little high, actually, today. It says the average father spends 35 minutes a day with their kids, but that's just being there, not actually talking to them, not actually thing. Now, that's actually the fathers that are there. You know, kids just want their dad's attention. I know coaching fifth grade football, there was a thing that happened that literally made me cry. Here we are coaching fifth grade football, and one of the kids, he kept dropping passes. You know, he's a fifth grader. You know, he's trying his best, but his dad wasn't one of the coaches, but he'd always come, and he was sitting there, and he kept griping at him, Well, after the third pass that he dropped, he kind of pulled him outside and griped at him, and this kid was crying. And so what we're doing an offense-defense drill. You threw the pass to the kid, then he comes over, and I was actually working with the defensive backs, because what most of you probably do not know, because I'm such a big guy, most of you probably thought Craig played the line. No, I didn't. I was a defensive back. That's what I did. I was wide receiver defensive back, so I was working with the defensive back. So after he caught the pass, he got back in line, and the next kid was back in line in front of him, and so here's this kid, you know, he's crying. This other kid is trying to console him. He turns around and he says these words. He's a fifth grader. He says, I'm not going to use a kid's name. He says, you know, I know it's tough that your father's griping at you, but at least he cares. Because I haven't seen my father in 3 years. He lives out somewhere in California. And I would do anything for him to gripe at me today. You know, sometimes we don't realize that this kid just wanted attention. And that's what a lot of times kids are crying out for attention. A lot of times kids do things not right because they just want attention. But you know what? The best thing a father can do is be there. You know, the most valuable thing that we have is our time. So, you know, just be there for the kid. But obviously, if you're there, the second thing my dad taught me was we have to teach our children. Of course, we all know what the Bible says. Proverbs 22:6 says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, it's hard to train a child up if you're not there to teach them. And so, you know, you need to be there to teach them. Of course, Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them into the training and admonition of the Lord." So it's important for fathers to train the Lord. Now, I will let you know that these, well, actually the first three scriptures, anytime that my dad disciplined me and we got the heat from the seat, or I got the heat from the seat, I say we, but I don't know that, I don't remember my sister getting spanked. I'm sure she did every once in a while, but my dad would read these verses to me because, you know, it's the first commandment with a promise that we could live long. Actually, I should rephrase that. He didn't read them. He would make me read the Bible. All right. And he only told me to read the first three verses. He did not, but I'd always make sure I got to verse four. And fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. So I always make sure that I got that one in. Because he always told me to read the first three. But that was the last thing I would read before I would get a spanking. And some of you might think my dad was cruel. I deserved every spanking I'm sure I got. You know, but as far as teaching is not just telling a kid what to do, it's showing a kid what to do. You know, we learn by example. And it's important because if you tell a kid one thing and do something else in your own life, it's not going to work. You know, a lot of times, you know, we don't realize that we're teaching our kids good habits or bad habits. Now, obviously, you should spend time with your kids. When I was doing youth ministry back in 2000, I read a stat once that says the average American father gives their child their undivided attention. That means, you know, just paying attention just to their child. No internet, no papers, because back then internet wasn't as big, but newspapers, no TV, just actually talking to your child. The average American father spends 1.5 minutes of their day giving their child their undivided attention. 1.5 minutes. What can you teach a kid in 1.5 minutes? I mean, you can teach a kid you don't care, teach a kid that, you know, that you don't really care about what's going on. Now, I get it. Sometimes it's hard for them to talk to your boys. Have a good day at school? Yep. I mean, that's all they're going to say. I mean, so sometimes boys don't give you a lot of expression, so maybe that's why it's hard to talk to boys a whole lot sometimes. But, you know, it's important how we live our life in front of our kids. You know, I know one thing that growing up, when we were a lot younger, we were poor. But my sister and I didn't really know that. You know, to tell you, I mean, like, usually after school, I would come home and get a bologna sandwich. Sometimes we couldn't afford bologna, so I only have a mayonnaise sandwich. So, you know, it is what I mean. I just thought we liked mayonnaise sandwiches. I didn't realize them. You know, I mean, I used to think my parents' favorite meal was beans and cornbread. I mean, you know, so just thought that was the thing. But we didn't have a lot. But I will say this, and I know that there were stressful times, but I do not remember that my mom and dad ever having a discussion about their stressful times, about their finances, because, you know, they did that when my sister and I were sleeping. You know, I'm sure that there was discussions about, you know, finances and different things in life, but I don't remember it. And I don't remember them ever, they never griped and said, well, it's because we're serving God that we don't have any money. I've heard that from, you know, some people, that they made some sacrifices to be here for the ministry and, you know, didn't have as much money. But, you know, they didn't act like it to us. I mean, we had no clue until you got older that we didn't really have a lot. We did know when payday was, because they would go to the store and buy a bunch of stuff. Always a good day was payday, because we'd have a full pantry worth of stuff, and it had to last a whole month, because Dad got paid once a month back then. So whatever we had a month to use it all. So it was always good. You know, one thing I do remember, one of the probably the best things that my dad ever did, I know he did the same thing for my sister, is when he would let us out for school every morning, the last thing he would ever say is, "Daddy loves you, Jesus loves you, and you can do anything you want to do." You know, and I believe that. I mean, I know my dad loves me, and I know Jesus loves me, and I always believed that I could do anything I want to do. Whatever I put my mind to, I could do that, you know, and I think that's important. And I, you know, we as children are a reflection of our father and what our father teaches, you know, our mother as well, but what we are taught from our parents. Obviously, in John chapter 14, Jesus is talking when they were telling Jesus to show us your father. And Jesus tells them, if you have seen the Son, you have seen the Father. Well, it's really hard for a son to imitate their father if their father is not there. And, you know, sometimes fathers, like I said, are physically there in the home, but they're really not there because they spend 1.5 minutes a day with their kids. You know, we have a generation of kids that are being raised by the internet and video games. You know, I mean, social media, video games, and different things like that. It's important that we spend time with our children. Something that we still do today is we go to the races. I mean, we've done it ever since I was born, I guess. I mean, you know, as soon as my mom would let my dad take me to the racetrack, we were at the racetrack, and we still enjoy going to the racetrack even to this day, you know. And I think it's important. I know my dad always tried to spend time with me and my sister growing up, doing different things. And, you know, because of his example, I use the same example for my children. And I think one of the best things to see, you know, as a grandfather is to see your children, you know, raising their own children and seeing how good of dad they are. You know, another thing that I learned from my dad is to make our family a priority in life. I think it's important. Too many ministers make their church a priority over the family. I know when I was at Rhema, Albania, and you have to understand that in Albania, that religion was illegal until like 1990 or 1991, something like that. I mean, you couldn't practice any kind of religion at all. So at Rhema, Albania, we have a unique thing. We actually have people who are already pastors, and then we have, you know, younger kids that are younger, young adults, and that are just kind of growing up. And so these pastors, we had this roundtable discussion and things, and they're saying, you know, not only are we first generation pastors, we're first generation Christians in our own family. And one of the biggest things that they wanted to know is that, you know, we weren't raised in church, so we weren't raised as a pastor's kid. So they're, you know, one of their questions were, what are our kids thinking about that? And the biggest thing that they were shocked to know is some of your kids are probably upset because you spend more time with your church family than you do with your own family. And when kids see that church family is a bigger priority than their own family, then that's an issue. And so it's important to make sure. Now, obviously, you got to be there for the church family, but you need to be there for your own family as well. We should make the family a priority. Make family time, you know, fun times. I mean, I know growing up, we had a lot of family time. I know that we would eat as a family all the time. Of course, obviously, some of you might know my money-saving habits. So even growing up, when I was dating and different things like that, well, the rules were if you eat with the family, mom and dad pay for it if we go out, or we, you know, it's free. Or, but if you go eat by yourself, you got to pay for it. So many times we ate with the family. I mean, you know, I wasn't embarrassed to bring, you know, even my own friend, you know, you're hanging out with the guys. I mean, you know, we would go eat a meal first and then we'd go hang out. I mean, you know, I mean, because number one, it's free, you know. I think, you know, and my, now my family didn't have to make it free just to spend time with me. Okay. I'm going to let you know that, but it's, like I said, if you gain the whole world and lose your family, what did you really gain? You didn't really gain anything, you know, but we should always make our fathers need to make your family a priority in life. You know, another thing my dad taught me, was to be a mentor to other kids. He was always a mentor to other kids. And in fact, my earliest memories, many of you probably don't know that we actually are all originally from Texas, the Dallas, Texas area. So as before we moved to Tulsa, I remember my dad, because obviously I wasn't playing these sports, he coached, was it nine-year-old track, was it? Nine-year-old boys. He coached them, you know, in a track team. I remember, you don't do this today, but riding in the back of the pickup, in the pickup bed, I mean, you know, because that's real safe. Of course, we didn't have seatbelts when I was a kid anyway, so it doesn't matter. Much less a car seat. I don't know what a car seat was. I don't know if car seats probably weren't even invented when I was a kid, you know, because obviously car seats are named after Mr. Car Seat, right? I mean, that was probably Mr. Graco, I guess, because the Graco car seat's probably the most popular. But, I remember riding the back with these nine-year-old kids, and we would go to track practice, and they would run, you know, because, since I wasn't playing sports, so we moved to Tulsa, and once again, I still wasn't playing sports. So he went to the local junior high and helped coach football to be a mentor to these young boys because, you know, someone needs to be. And so, and then obviously, once we started playing sports, dad coached everything. In fact, he even coached soccer. He knows nothing about soccer, still knows nothing about soccer. Can't even tell you. He probably don't even know the soccer positions, except for goalie. He probably knows forward. I guess he probably does. Knows nothing about, but it doesn't matter whether you know the game or not. The thing is, you know, he knows he can motivate the kids. And we had a bunch of our football kids, and we played soccer, you know. And so he found an assistant coach who was a former high school state champion, and that was all you needed, someone who knew soccer. You know, so, you know, but he was always a coach, always there. But, you know, which I followed in his footsteps. I coached football, baseball, basketball. It didn't matter how good I was at each of those sports. It doesn't matter. I mean, I know how to coach, and I coach all my kids, probably coaching some of you that are out there, or some of your kids, growing up. And it's always a great time to be there for these other kids, you know, to coach these other kids, because especially in today's generation, because there's so many kids that don't have a good mentor in their life. And I think it's important to be a mentor, you know, in young kids' life. And, like I said, even if you don't have your own kids, to go and volunteer and help with the youth, or help with the Rainbow Kids or whatever, or getting involved in some kind of program like Big Brother or something like that. I think that's a really good thing. But you know what? Maybe you don't know how to coach nothing because you don't even know how to play. You realize you can still be a mentor to your kids' kids whenever they're over. Anytime I run into any of my friends, Denise is the same thing. The first thing they ask me is, how's your dad doing? How's your dad doing? Because my dad made an impression on all their lives, not just mine. And I think that's important, that we should make an impression on the people's lives around about us at all times. And so now, actually, I don't have to tell them as much anymore because most of my friends are my dad's Facebook friends. And so they know what he's doing, and they can see what he does, you know, there, because, you know, unlike most ministers, my dad and mom control their own Facebooks. So whatever they post is what they post, and not what somebody else that works for their staff posts. So they post their own stuff. But, you know, it is interesting how many people ask, how's my dad doing? Or how's Coach Hagen doing? You know, I know my cousins would say the same thing because they were going to junior high school whenever he coached their football team. And so whenever they would see them, they would always ask about Coach Hagen. You know, I think that's important to be a mentor, especially to this generation that has so many fatherless, you know, kids around about them. But, you know, we should be a shining example to the kids around about us. But I think one of the other most important things is my dad taught me was being able to say that we're sorry or we're wrong whenever. I know that, you know, a couple of times that my dad maybe was a little tough on me or whatever. You know, there's a number of times that he apologized. You know, son, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that, or I shouldn't have been that. I know one time, he probably doesn't remember this, but we lived on a cul-de-sac, and we had some kind of neighborhood basketball game going. We had two goals in a. My dad wanted me to play, but I'm too little. I wasn't really going to be able to. Basketball wasn't my favorite sport anyway. And so he kind of got mad. He didn't mean to throw it at me. He just threw the basketball, but it ended up like bouncing. It's one of those things how it hit me in the legs and it tripped me up. You know how it like, hits your legs? And he didn't hit me, but it like I tripped over the basketball, fell down and scraped my knee or my arm or whatever, you know, and obviously crying like a kid. And so, but my dad would always tell me he's sorry. But, you know, something else, too, is he would actually listen to me talk. There was a number of times that he would tell me that I couldn't do something or but he would at least allow me to express my opinion on why I thought that I should be able to do it. Whether or not he agreed with me or not, that was a whole other thing. But he did, you know, he would at least listen. And I appreciate about that. So he listened to my argument, and I believe I was a good arguer. In fact, if I wasn't a minister, I'd probably be a lawyer. Not a liar, a lawyer. I know it might be the same thing, but anyway, that's but I do believe I'm a pretty good arguer and a pretty good understand psychology quite a bit to make sure that I say the right things the right way. So I get to do things that maybe I wouldn't get to do. But he would at least listen. I mean, that was one thing that I do appreciate him. But, you know, he was, like I said, my dad, something else I asked, I'm being a mentor. You know, one thing I remember, you know, when you're a mentor, sometimes you're the father to the fatherless. The good thing about it is most of the kids that I grew up with did have fathers, but there was one kid named Stacy. That I mean, I went from kindergarten all the way through high school with him, and I never even met his father. I mean, I guess he existed, but even later on, took on his mom's maiden name because that. But I know that because he knew that he didn't have a dad. I don't know how many times we took Stacy home, we took Stacy wherever, and I know that my parents paid out of their own pocket to make sure that he had some stuff sometimes, you know, because you know, single mom. You know, I think it's important for have wherewithal to be a father to the fathers if we can. But like I said, my dad did teach me to say I'm sorry, you know, and I probably had to tell my kids I'm sorry probably more than enough. But Blake used to make me mad when I was trying to spank him, so he was like, you know, he was, and my kids will laugh because Blake was the worst. he would just try to antagonize me. That's just, he's just that kind of personality. So there was sometimes I maybe was a little too hard on him, but he probably deserved it. But I do appreciate because I believe it's because of my father's lessons that has helped me become a good father. And, you know, that's why my kids are all here today. You know, not only did my dad teach me how to be a good father, taught me how to be a good grandfather, and he always did everything he could to make all the grandkids' games. And, you know, it's hard when you have five boys playing sometimes at five different locations, you know, around, I say around the city, sometimes as they get older, around the state, you know. And, you know, he would make the wherewithal to try to be as many games as they can. And if he couldn't make some of their games, he'd at least call them and tell them, hey, Poppy can't be there. You know, I would if I could, but I can't be there. But in fact, Denise will tell you, all the other parents, if Dad wasn't there, ask, where's your dad? I mean, they're so used to him. And if Dad's there, you know he was there. I mean, every umpire, every ref also knew that Dad was there. And it didn't matter if he was sitting on the top row, because everybody knew that he's there, because he would make sure to be pretty vocal at all times. But, you know, he was always there. And, you know, even to this day, sometimes, because the other day we actually recorded a video, and when we recorded, it's not like I was talking about my dad in the past tense. It's not that it's past tense. It's that I'm not a kid anymore, all right? I'm not 12. And so, you know, when I would say something like my dad was a great father and things like I was talking about, he still is a good father. But, you know, we have a different relationship. And at 54 years of age, you know, I know it's really weird for me to give my age because my mom's younger than me and I really have a hard time with that. But, but you know, my dad's still there. It's just, you know, it's a whole lot different. So when I talk about my dad as a father, I'm not talking about, he's not dead, all right? Obviously, he's still alive. But, you know, there's a whole lot different. In fact, it's a really weird period because even as a grandfather, I mean, all the kids are not playing sports anymore. So it's, you know, it's sometimes it gets a little boring. And now that Cameron doesn't race that much, it's boring on the weekend. So you know, and it's tough. And so that's one thing that we miss the most because we hadn't been at the races more. Of course, if you follow my schedule, I've been out of town most every weekend. So that's a whole nother, and I'll be out of town next four weekends as well. So praise God. It's summertime. And you know, and the great thing about it is good opportunity to preach the word all around the world. And so that's another great opportunity. But, you know, obviously, you know, today we talked about a lot of practical things. I mean, obviously, you know, religious-wise, I mean, you know, my dad always, you know, would bring, I mean, God was always important. It wasn't, if we're going to go to church, it's what time we're going to leave for church. I mean, there wasn't ever. And when I was younger, we went to church a lot, you know, so it is what it is. And so, you know, I mean, you know, he's always been there. But you know what? Like I said, if you're the best Christian as a dad and you're not a good example, then, you know, because kids don't really care, you know, what you say. They want to know that you really care about them, that you spend time. Because if you spend time with someone, that's when you really care. And, you know, I think us fathers can always do better at all times. But those are just a few things that I learned from my dad. Nothing fancy. I just want to share a few thoughts today of some things I learned. And so hopefully some of you as younger fathers might learn to be those things. But you know what? And if maybe you weren't the best father to your kids, some of you maybe weren't saved with your kids, you can still be the best grandfather you can be or the best mentor you can be. And I know, you know, one thing too, especially summertime, you know, a lot of times during the school year we have a lot of students, but right now is a great time for some of you fathers maybe to volunteer and help out, especially in the children's area. I know that they need, you know, quite a bit of help. And you know, as a father, and like I said too, if you have the opportunity still, that I do want to encourage each and every one of you, I want to encourage you to call your father, not just text them. I mean, you know, you can text them if they don't answer, but I mean, you know, I think that they, you know, your father deserves a phone call, even if they weren't the best dad, you know, growing up or whatever. You know, something else, there is no real handbook. And I realize, you know, that there's people that have written all kinds of books about how to be a father, but that doesn't, I mean, every kid's different. And so, you know, there is no handbooks. And Some of us made a lot of mistakes, but you know what? If it wasn't for your dad, you wouldn't be here in this world. I mean, your dad helped bring you in this world, and so I encourage each and every one of you, if you can, to call your father, you know, and wish him a happy Father's Day, because I think it's important. Even if you haven't talked to your father in a while, I think that's important, because your father, like I said, and if your father wasn't the best example for your life, that doesn't mean that you can't change the cycle. You know, our next generation is a reflection of how our fathers are. And I think that's important. Like I said, if it's important for those who don't have a father in their thing. That's, you know, that's why, you know, you see a lot of these athletes growing up and find out they maybe didn't have a father, but they had a coach that helped mentor them all the way through. And that's how they became who they are today. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person that's here and each and every person that's watching online. For those dads that are out there, help us to be the best father that we could be. Be a godly father. Be an example to our kids. To spend time with our kids. To be a mentor to other people that are around about us. Father God, we just thank you for each and every person that's here and watching online. But we thank you, Father, if anyone is here that does not know your son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior, we thank you, Father, that they will make him Lord and Savior of their life today. If you're here today with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you say, Craig, I've never been saved. I've never asked the Lord to become Savior of my life. You know, if you've never done that, then you can do that this morning. Just lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium, anyone here. Or maybe here today and you say, Craig, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. I've been in church for a long time, but I don't know. Or maybe you're here and you say, you know, I once walked in Father's house, but I kind of turned my back and I went away. And, you know, especially for a dad, you know, here on Father's Day would be a great time to rededicate yourself to the Lord and to that. That's you. If you've never been saved or want to rededicate yourself to the Lord this morning, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. If anyone's here, they need to be saved or they want to be saved. I don't see any hands. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, first of all, for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father, that if anyone is not saved, we thank you, Father, for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. We thank you for everything that you're doing in our midst today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, God's a good God. Let's all stand up. If you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you this morning. The Connection team is in the aisle. They will take you back to the north lobby. We have a gift for you really fast. You know, we dismiss around here. The pastoral staff will be headed to the doors, and you can shake their hands. It's on the screen where everybody is going to be. You can look at it there. Once again, I want to wish all the fathers a happy Father's Day. And once again, I want to encourage each and every person to call your dad and tell him happy Father's Day. God bless you guys. We'll see you back here tonight at 6 p.m. Have a wonderful day.
Sing praise.